welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the third album from Irish singer-songwriter Kira Marialis Thompson, who goes by her initials, CMAT. It's called Euro Country, and we'll start out with the title track. I never understood what this way of living could do to me. All the mooch around shops and the lack of identity. So try to be what he wasn't born. All this pop style. For herself for a couple years now in her native Ireland, but is just now starting to get more recognition here in America. And I'm so glad I heard this album. She's just such a wonderful presence. This first song is very political and talking about the kind of financial trouble that Ireland has been in since the 2008 financial crisis. But most of her songs are just really ebullient and funny and self-effacing. And she's got an amazing voice.
Yeah, just completely going for it. And it's sort of fun when we're, you know, mixing the show and we look at the levels and it's just kind of completely maxed out. This is maximalist in the presentation. Like, her voice is so intense, so forward and overpowering, and it has so much personality. It's so beautiful. It's so, a little alarming, and that there's so much emotion here that she's really feeling it. And I mean, we kind of fade out into that bridge where she's like talking about being a kid and having these horrible things happen, and literally like her friends' dads were killing themselves and that kind of trauma, and how much thinking about like, oh, we're Gen Xers. I'm like, man, what did we have when we were that age? Like the Challenger explosion? Like, I don't know. It seems like we're relatively blessed.
Well, we did have Black Monday in the 90s, but yeah. What I think in talking about her voice being forward, I think one of the ways that her this album succeeds or is getting more attention than her first two is that it's mixed with her voice a lot higher in the mix. Like, I don't know if it was just maybe cheaper production or whatever, but in her earlier stuff, it sounds a lot more flat. And I think whoever is doing the producing on this record, like, really makes her voice shine in a way that it should.
Yeah, that's Ollie Dinkin, who had worked on her first record. Doesn't have a long track record, but really seems like, oh, maybe after this record might be getting a little more work. And I think it's funny here that he also plays like a pile of instruments, and although in this case, I think not the pedal steel guitar, which is sort of the only really country element. You know, often she's described as being a country performer, and I feel like, well, it's just kind of pop with country elements. And her vocals on this are just so big and operatic, and the only thing that pulls it to a kind of country direction, aside from the country, in this case being Ireland, is that pedal steel. But you know, she does say, oh, I'm a country artist. Just this is what I think of as country. And I will say that the next track on the record is maybe the most country-ish sounding. It's called When a Good Man Cries.
I hope you don't last with the time so sore. I hope it ain't past and to get reborn.
Don't mind Diana, all of my jokes are done.
of these songs she so expertly builds, where there's so many different layers of this really brief verse and then a pre-chorus. And then the chorus gets even bigger, and that's sort of the most country-ish with really prominent fiddle. And you're thinking like, okay, this song is built. And then you get to this bridge where she just lets out all the stops, and then it becomes not kind of country, but almost a little bit gospel as she starts singing about religious stuff after being a little more personal in the first bits of the song. It's just so big, and she keeps swinging for the fences.
Yeah, there's so much instrumentation on these tracks, which is, as you mentioned, kind of funny because Ollie Deacon is credited with playing most of the instruments. Like on this one, he's credited with bass, acoustic guitar, electric guitar, synth, mellotron, lap steel, and backing vocals. And then there's a Morgan Carabell on drums, who I think plays drums on a lot of these songs. Mm-hmm. But it's just a small group of people who is really producing this very full band sound.
Yeah, it is really quite something, and even she is credited as her own backing vocals. So it is, it's amazing how these just, it's, yeah, this feeling of a scrappy group got together and made what feels like this huge produced studio pop record. It's kind of amazing.
And it's hard to interpret this for an audio podcast, but I think a lot of what I like about her is her presentation. Like, it's very camp. All of these singles had great videos along with them, and mm-hmm. she's just kind of making fun of herself, but also being very enthusiastic, and she just really commands a room. And I think the next song kind of gives you an audio flavor of what her visual presentation is like. And it's called the Jamie Oliver Petrol Station.
I was at the Jamie Oliver Petrol Station. I need a deli, but God, I hate him. That man should not have his face on posters. I feel so angry inside at most home. But then I think of the New York skyline.
What section of that song to play, so we just started from the beginning. But like many of these songs, it starts out with just her voice and maybe a couple instruments, and then just builds and builds and builds to, by the end of the song, she is just like belting it out and wailing, and there's, you know, all of the instruments come in, and it's very joyful and over the top.
Yeah, well, joyful, and at the same time this like kind of self-deprecating on multiple dimensions. I think there's a lyric about people looking at her saying, she's really mental. She's not just acting. Like, she's very aware that, like, I might be crazy, but I have to sing these words. And also, I'm acknowledging that an irrational hatred for Jamie Oliver, who, I mean, I don't know, I'm not into, like, food celebrities, but he seems like I'm in that world.
He's a
like
celebrity chef.
Celebrity chef, but, like, a relatively wholesome, positive, like, people should eat good food and not make too big a fuss. Like, I don't know.
But apparently he has a brand deal with a chain of gas station delis.
Yes, and there's a... Yeah, I've seen a picture of this, the Jamie Oliver deli by Shell all over in Britain. And it's, yeah, ubiquitous. And yeah, I can understand, like, just why this guy again? Why this guy again? So her mantra is telling herself, hey, don't be a bitch. She's just a guy.
And I like the line, you'll like forgetting one day you'll stop breathing. And then, you know, you spent all your time on seething or something like that. And it's just, you know, all about don't waste your energy on these people.
Yeah. And then again, it culminates this sort of her trying to talk herself down, like, it's okay, okay. And then she has literally a full minute of wailing, and it is so cathartic. And also that sort of insane emotional energy where, you know, to the extent, oh, our friends, the fiddle and the pedal steel finally come in, even though it's mostly driven by kind of noisy guitars. And then this piano that comes in and gives it a real propulsive energy. Mm-hmm. And then a tiny hint of country in this otherwise kind of throwbacky pop song, but like with this, yeah, I don't know even how to describe this style, but it's so fun and over the top, over this just like kind of joke and a self-deprecating joke at that. It's just a blast. And yeah, this is such a fun song.
Speaking of self-deprecating, the next song that we'll play is one that she wrote after she did an appearance on a live appearance on BBC, and the people were making such horrible comments about her weight and her appearance, and like, she's not even fat, she just doesn't have an eating disorder, and that they had to disable the comments. And so she wrote this great song about having to perform sexiness called Take a Sexy Picture of Me.
Listen, I did the butcher, I did the baker, I did the home and the family maker, I did schoolgirl fantasies. Oh, I did leg ting and hand stuff and single woman banter. Now tell me.
A song and then I just think, no, the right way to describe this is instant classic. Like, it is so catchy, it is so funny, and then you just sit and realize, oh, it's also a gut punch of how much she is just suffering in this world dominated by the male gaze, and yet fundamentally hopeful for her to say, like, yeah, I made through my 20s and they say I don't have worth, but screw that. And also, all of you other women who are about to experience this, I'm here for you. And this this message of solidarity and hope. And it's doing so much with so little. It's amazing.
You know, all within this song that's kind of like a throwbacky girl group sort of feel with the backing. Sure, she's doing her own backing vocals, but it feels so like 60s girl group.
Yeah, except with a little bit of pedal steel. But it's, again, how the pedal steel as a good backing instrument for these throwbacky pop songs, like, wouldn't have expected it. It's amazing. Yeah. And again, just the sheer humor and horror embodied in Make Me Look 16, Make Me Look 15, Make Me Look 14, or maybe 10 or 5 or 2.
So every time she repeats that at the end of the chorus, it starts out Make Me Look 16, and then it's Make Me Look 14. And
And then at the end, it's 10, 5, 2, or a baby. I don't know, whatever you want. Like, but it's hilarious and horrifying at the same time.
So catchy.
Oh my God. Just an amazing track. And to see her, you know, we talked about that she played Glastonbury, and you can find videos of her playing this song, and it's, oh my God, dominating the stage. And then more recently coming on her first American TV performance on a pre-cancellation Jimmy Kimmel, and that performance being one, just a jaw-dropping you know, late night TV. And that can be a hard venue to deliver a good performance. But oh my goodness, seek those out. Amazing.
Yeah. And at that Glastonbury set, she said that her boyfriend was working in a chip van at the festival. And so she slept in a tent, like by the chip van with the refrigerator fan running, and like only slept for like 2 hours the night before. She's very hardworking, and she says, you know, basically, like, she doesn't know how long this will last, so she feels like she has to make the most of it as soon as, you know, as quickly as possible, because she doesn't know when else I'll be over.
You wouldn't know it from those performances, but what I do appreciate is there is a section on this record where she kind of goes back and talks about the struggle she went through to get to be at this point. Like, she had a really tough time before it clicked, and she's like, oh, I know how to do this. I know how to be a pop star or a successful musician. And before that, she really struggled, and she really goes into that on this next track. It's called Coronation Street.
I'm too tired to make my dinner, and I think I'm too tired to fall asleep. I think my boyfriend hates me, and if I'm being honest, that's not deep. I don't really
also mentioned briefly in the next song, is a British television soap opera that first aired in 1960 and is still on. And in 2025, it averaged about 4 million viewers per episode, and it aired its 10,000th episode in 2020.
Right. Well, that's sounds pretty amazing, and yet also exactly the sort of thing you might find yourself watching when your life's kind of in the toilet, which is apparently at least how she describes her early 20s. Yeah, sounds pretty rough.
She talks about when she first started writing music, she didn't have any friends, and she was working as a quote-unquote shot girl in a bar, which meant carrying around a bunch of shots of Jägermeister in dry ice and selling them for £3 a shot.
Yuck. Yeah. And apparently, yeah, she'd already tried, like she tried to be a musician and said, like, I'm going to do hyperpop. I love Charlie XCX. I'll do that. And it failed. And so it's like, well, what do I do? And it was in the depths of despair that she's like found this new sound that was her sound.
Yeah.
And so to have this song, that just capturing of that feeling of desperation of like, what am I going to do? I'm just trapped in this situation. And to obviously it's a sad song. And yet, well, we know what happened next.
Yeah.
And although even then, it's like, I want to describe it as like, yay, it's a happily ever after story, except she's in the same interview where she talks about that job. She's like, yeah, I kind of went crazy trying to write this record. Like I was straight up hallucinating, just trying to get this out of me. And you worry. And as I said, she just wants to make as much music while she can. And it does sound like a struggle. And the results, though, oh my goodness.
And this is one of the songs that does have a little bit of a country feel with that strumming acoustic guitar. And you could say that, I think a lot of these songs you could say have like a country influence, but I wouldn't call them country.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah, it's a spice rather than the main ingredient on the vast majority of the records.
Yeah,
and
so it's kind of like a Cowboy Carter flavor of country.
I'll buy that, and that people like that record a lot, and they should like this record a lot. It's quite something. So we go, I think, to sort of a almost like a to me, like a companion piece, including that shared reference to Coronation Street, which is this next track with the delightful title, Lord, Let That Tesla Crash.
I heard death comes in trees. I misheard it being from Dublin. I thought death's in the trees, which makes sense because they're the saddest kinds of plants I have seen. All the drama of them dying every year I have seen. Watch them dying from the window that we shared for 2 years with the dog that I was scared of. I went back to our house before your funeral. I don't miss you.
So this track is, it's sort of funny to me because it's, there's that lyric about going to someone's house, you've lost, and you see the car parked in front of their house and this sort of misplaced hostility, like that person, I'm going to be angry at that person. And in that way, it's sort of a weird mirror image of the Jamie Oliver petrol station of like, here's this person, you just get this like weird hostility towards them and then interrogating in that. And in that song, it's very funny and cathartic. And here it is just really sad because she's kind of working through like, oh, I haven't really processed my grief and I miss you so much and I can't miss you and now you're gone. It's
I'm going to turn my anger into this car that's parked in front of your old house.
Yeah. And it's a tough listen because, yeah, it's so much of like, oh, here are things I did wrong or here are things that bug me that you did, but actually I was bad too, but we also support each other. And it's complicated. It's messy. It's real. It's raw and all anchored just with this sweet, pure voice just embodying all of this emotion.
And the acoustic guitar, which kind of pairs it with Coronation Street. When I first listened to this album the first couple of times, these songs would kind of bleed together in my mind. And I think there's a lot of sonic similarity and also like looking at that time in her life.
Yeah, it is really a beautiful little track. And yeah, that it just ends so sweetly just with this the ending being just, Lord, let that Tesla crash, over and over again. It's this mantra. And it's like the feeling of like, is she just accepting that she's never going to come to terms with her feelings? I don't know. Or is she just like, I just have to have, I'm not yet. And she's still young. She's what, 29?
Yeah.
And already so accomplished and mature. And so it's like, the self-awareness that goes shot through these songs is just really extraordinary.
So from there, we'll play the penultimate track, which is called Running/Planning.
I call you my baby, but it calls alarm. I call you my angel, but you've caused some harm. And there's nothing to you, you're really not a man. She prayed to God in school for a perfect friend.
album is sequenced, with some of these more mellow songs in the middle and then going out on kind of a hopeful note. It's just the whole album is such a great listen. It's difficult to get. We almost always buy everything on Bandcamp, but you can only get the digital album through her website, which was, we had a lot of trouble navigating. Yay. But it's worth it to hear it.
Yeah, direct to spam. But the songwriting here, I mean, you described it as hopeful, and it sounds so, you know, it's beautiful. This was the first single, which is still kind of an odd choice, mm-hmm. but it has such a just kind of mellow pattern, and she seems hopeful, and yet the lyrics are pretty rough because it's about kind of getting past a lot of expectations. And so, again, there are so many of these like flip coins I'll talk about, like, oh, well, this is kind of a companion piece to that song, because kind of like Take a Sexy Picture of Me, it's like, oh, I have these expectations of being sexy. And then this is a song of like these expectations of domesticity. It's like you'll find someone who's good enough and then have a kid and then teach that kid to go find someone who's good enough. And maybe you'll give some gifts, and it's all very just hollow and sad, and yet this is what people are being taught, and especially girls are being taught. And yeah, that the image of this, she's like practicing guitar and she should be excited about that, and instead she's daydreaming about some random dude that will be her man. And so it's hopeful in a way, but yeah, no, there's this deep sadness, and yeah, the what she's been had to deal with as a woman.
But there's a lot more acoustic guitar on the back half. And I feel like that is her, with her beautiful voice, you get more of just the voice alone over acoustic guitar. And that's when I think her talent really shines. Even though, you know, songs like Take a Sexy Picture of Me are so fun and so maximalist, you can really see her talent on the tracks that are more stripped down.
Yeah, I do need to shout out though that, yeah, this is another song that is not really country at all, except the violin is super prominent there. So yeah. Reed Jenkins is credited on a number of these tracks playing violin. It just brings so much character and emotion to this track. It's really quite something, and one that's otherwise this kind of soul pop in a style that feels very familiar, but introducing these country elements keeps making them fresh and even more awesome and powerful.
So like I said, just go listen to the whole album. It's really great. It was really tough to choose the songs that we would play and the parts of those songs. And she deserves to be heard in full. I'm really glad that she has made her way across the pond.
Yeah, she's did a 9-city U.S. tour in September, which didn't make it to San Francisco. But I'm sure at this point she's already playing huge venues. She deserves to be, you know, just one of those talents where it's just like, oh, this should be a huge pop star. Mm-hmm. And we don't do a lot of pop on this show, but this is one where it's just like, oh, she's the real deal.
I can totally see her becoming like Sports Team, who are huge in their native country but come to the U.S. and play at places like the Kilowatt. I think it's great.
I think instead she's coming and playing at Coachella next year. Well, so sucks,
but hopefully she will make a stop in the Bay Area.
Yeah, she can play some amphitheater.
Anyway, we're going to go out with the last track, which is called Janis Joplining, and we've been discussing Euro Country by CMET, and you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
I'm a writer. I don't do crushes. I do problematic attentions. I do crosswords with the affections and a longing I won't act on. No. We've been over it myself, how bad it would be this ting a call a crazy horse of a man. But I was in the garden and I was in my mind. I was thinking about all the bad things that I've done every day since I was 5.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.FM podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.